5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here today. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. A lot of stuff happening in this sports world, man. You had the World Series getting wrapped up. Congratulations to the Braves getting that bad boy. I thought maybe Houston gets that one last night, but the Braves decided to go ahead and end that thing. Ended in Houston. Then you had all the Broncos aftermath of the Von Miller trade. I think this goes without saying, but I think most of Broncos country is rooting for Von. I asked this poll question yesterday. Who were you more upset to see go? Nolan Arenado or Vaughn? And a lot of you brought up the way Nolan was traded because you paid and did all that stuff. And it was I'm not really asking what was the better trade. Who did you hate to see go more? I mean, to me, it's easily Von Miller. Guy's crying. You know, he's emotional. As made me want to cry. Almost did. Thinking about him growing up with the Broncos, going back to 2011. I'm working on my deep thoughts from a wandering mind about that, too. Just a thank you to Vaughn, because he brought the Broncos back to being relevant. I mean, yeah, there were times the Broncos got into the playoffs. There was the Plummer years where they went to the AFC Championship against the Steelers, but they got blown out of that game. But, I mean, what? How many playoffs, really, have the Broncos been in? Appearances between John Elway and Von Miller and Peyton Manning, of course. I think they went once with Brian Griese. He had like a good year and he got hurt. They beat the Raiders, I think, to get in. It's hazy, but I know they got in because I think Gus Frerotte took over. Then they got in with Jake Plummer. So they went once between the Elway Plummer era. You got Plummer, and they went twice in a row against the Colts, got blown out, and then they went that third year. That was the Champ Bailey crazy interception against Tom Brady and the Patriots, and he almost ran it back. They had that year, they go to the AFC Championship. They lose to the Steelers. Then after that, they drafted Jay Cutler, right? And Broncos never went to the playoffs with Jay Cutler. They were like a 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, 8-8. That's pretty much what Shanahan was after Jake Plummer. So you were in this weird spot for the Broncos. Not bad, not anything like we've seen the last few years. But then John Elway comes to town and you change up. You got the second pick. You draft Von Miller. That was Kyle Orton was the starting quarterback at that point. And then you made the change halfway through the season to Tim Tebow. Vaughn had 11 sacks that year. We all know the defense was really good that year. And they got into the playoffs. And then they just kept getting better, obviously, when Peyton Manning came to town. So Vaughn was a big part of that chunk of history. Maybe the part. Because Manning was sensational for 3 years. Vaughn was still pretty good. But when they won the Super Bowl, we all know that was a rough year for Peyton Manning. In fact, the rumors before the season were that are the Broncos going to move on from Peyton Manning? Those were heating up. They stuck it out. Manning had, I think they were a 500 team, and Manning got hurt his heel, and that was against the Chiefs. They put Brock Osweiler in. Manning had a rough playoffs. He was smart, still using his brain and making things happen, but we all know that it was the defense, and we all know that Von Miller led the defense that year. If the name of the game is to win Super Bowls, that's what this is all about, right? Well, the Broncos have three of them. So that's the order of you put as far as the greatest times in Broncos history are those three Super Bowls. And obviously, Elway highlights that both sides because he was GM and a player. There was a lot of great players in that run, in those two Super Bowl years. I mean, that's where you're seeing all the Hall of Famers now, right? They're all getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. The Atwaters, the Sharps, the Terrell Davises. All those guys, just left and right, getting tossed in. And then you fast forward to the next greatest era, and that was this no-fly zone, but also no-fly zone was really good because they had some excellent pass rushers getting after the quarterback. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, was Philip Rivers. You knew that one, obviously? Well, it's going to be an AFC West guy, because you play him twice a year, you got a better shot of Sorry, I think it was Alex Smith is second. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, yeah. Alex Smith existed.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was Philip Rivers. Do you know the number, Michael? Do you know how many times Philip Rivers was sacked by Von Miller?
I don't.
16 times. The only one in double digits. Alex Smith is second. Now, you would think it'd be an AFC West guy, but guess who's third? Do you have any idea who is third on the list? I can give you a hint.
Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady, but well done. You deserve a Susan and Cheryl clap, but they called in sick today.
They have the vid.
Oh, do they? Fourth on that list is Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Big Ben Roethlisberger. He sacked him four times. Russell Wilson, four times. It's interesting looking. Whoever put this together, thank you. But it's a Von Miller sacks overall. Just looking at all these different quarterbacks. He has he sacked Lamar Jackson half of a time. Jameis Winston's in that mix. Joe Flacco. He only sacked Peyton Manning one time. How about that?
How many times did he do it in practice? Oh, wait. No, you're not supposed to tackle him in practice.
So, yeah, he only sacked him one time. Just looking at the list here.
That was back when I hated Peyton Manning.
How could you hate Peyton Manning? Just because he torched the Broncos so much. I mean, yeah, he lit Denver
how you hate him.
On fire. Those two playoff years. Remember when they beat him in the meaningless regular season game? Was it the second year? Quentin Griffin ran all over the Colts and were like, oh, the Broncos have a shot. And the Colts are like, dude, we didn't even play our guys, man. And then the very next week, torched again.
Yeah, I got toasted.
Manning just... It was surgical watching him do that. Just, it was hard to watch. But, man, he was sensational. But those were the great runs, right? Those were the great years. That when you think of your teams, you look at, first off, their championship years. Those are the best years. If your team was lucky enough to win a championship, those are the best years. Von Miller represented that era for Denver. Super Bowl 50. So, he's going to be forever remembered as... And again, he brought a Super Bowl here. So I was shocked yesterday. Nolan Arenado won the vote for that. Who did you hate to see leave the most, Nolan Arenado or Von Miller? Both great players. But Von Miller, as far as his status, I think Von is a greater football player than Nolan is a greater baseball player. Is that fair? I don't know. Nolan, at times, we thought he was going to be the greatest third baseman, maybe ever. No one's saying Vaughn's the greatest pass rusher ever. So I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I think why so many people are upset about Nolan leaving is because they hate the owners so much. The owners are just very easy to hate. So they hate that whole situation.
I get it.
So they hate the Nolan.
I get it. A lot of people brought up, well, because we gave St. Louis $50 million just to take him. Okay, you don't like the situation. The situation is worse for Nolan for sure. Denver got a great deal out of trading Von Miller, second and third round pick. Vaughn's not worth a first rounder. Those of you that are like, what? He's not. No. Vaughn, you just said it. Broncos number one fan over here, Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th.
I was happy about it.
And you just said Vaughn is not, you're not giving him a high grade. So to get a guy that is, what is he, 32?
Yeah, 32.
32, he'll be 33 in March. He's not the Vaughn from even 2 years ago, before the injury. He's not that Von Miller anymore. So yeah, to get a second and a third round pick, man, that to me, that feels like a steal.
I think it's a steal, too. I'm wondering if he might get a resurgence because he's in a new place.
He's gonna have a good second half, and Bronco, you're going to hear that Broncos fan that goes, oh, what did we do? But they're trying to block Aaron Donald over there. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons on the defensive side of the ball. And when you have that, yeah, Vaughn's probably going to turn out a nice year as far as sacks go. If you look at all the weapons the Rams have, that's a fairly good defense, or at least the skill guys are pretty dang good. So Vaughn will probably turn it around, and you're going to get people saying, oh, man, why did we get rid of this guy? Why did we do that? Look how great he is. You got Aaron Donald, who's just a monster. Leonard Floyd, Ernest Jones. I mean, yeah, putting Vaughn out there on the other side of Troy Reader. I mean, this is it's going to be a and you got good corners to shut people down, and Jalen Ramsey. I wouldn't be shocked if Vaughn churns out a pretty good end of the season or second half of the season.
I'm wondering what the Cardinals are thinking right now. Well, we thought we were going to go 15-1. Not anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. I think the Rams definitely got better. There's no question. The Rams got better.
But we got a lot with this second and third rounder. You look at a lot of these players that get traded. A lot of them, it's a sixth round pick. It's a fifth round pick.
A lot of times, you don't see even great players that are just slightly past their prime. You don't see first round picks for those guys.
I remember we got a wide receiver from the Packers. Don't remember his name off the top of my head. We traded a second rounder for him.
Javon Walker?
Yeah, there we go.
And he played at a very high level for Denver for a few seasons. Of course, the Darren Williams stuff, I think, really messed with him. And that's kind of where his career fizzled because he didn't really want to be, which you can't blame the guy. He didn't want to be around Denver anymore. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. George Payton, I think, sent some mixed messages yesterday. I think I'm in the minority here that I do, and I'm not saying this because I'm a fanboy. I do kind of feel like the Broncos are at this interesting stage where they can maybe have their cake and eat it too. They can be they're 500 team going up against Dallas. They're unsure about Dak, and if Dak does go, is he banged up a little bit? I don't think they win that game, but I think they have some winnable games down the stretch. Weld County Swami says, thoughts on the Odell Beckham Jr. situation. He was excused from practice today, according to Jake Trotter of ESPN. This thing is getting weird. You saw the thing where his dad, Beckham Jr.'s dad, was like pointing out plays on Twitter where Baker Mayfield missed him. And people were commenting and saying things like, he doesn't want Odell to steal the spotlight and all this stuff. And the dad's like giving that tweeter check marks. Like, you got it. You guessed it. That's exactly right. Beckham was told not to attend Wednesday's practice one day after his father posted those comments on social media trashing Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. Coach Kevin Stefanski said Wednesday afternoon that he had not spoken to Beckham in the past 24 hours, asked whether he was preparing to play without Beckham on Sunday against the Bengals or whether Beckham was no longer a member of the team. Stefanski said, I would just tell you today he is excused and we'll see where this goes. If it ain't no, it's probably yes. Beckham is under contract for two more seasons, but has no guaranteed money left on his deal. He has a $1 million roster bonus due to the first day of training camp each of those seasons. The Browns would save $15 million on their salary cap if they were to trade or release him during the offseason. On Tuesday, Odell Beckham Sr., so here's the video. He posted a video on Instagram highlighting times when Mayfield didn't throw the ball to Beckham when he was open. Beckham Sr. responded with three green check marks in the comment section of a post that said Mayfield was either hating on Odell or just doesn't want him shining. Beckham Sr. also responded with hashtag big facts to a post that called Mayfield mediocre. So there had to be more with Beckham. There had to be more going on. Are you benching a guy because his dad tweeted out some stuff? No. Right? If that's the case, then all of the balls in the NBA would be benched on a nightly basis.
His dad needs to remember that he's not on the Lakers.
Yes.
He's on the Browns.
Although ball's not... That's neither here nor there. The Browns did discuss a trade of Beckham with the Saints, according to ESPN's Kimberly Martin, but obviously no deal was reached by Tuesday's deadline. Beckham has not been the same guy that he once was. There's no question about it. I don't know. There's obviously more going on with that situation than just the dad tweeted stuff out and they're benching Odell. No. There was other stuff happening between the coach, between Baker Mayfield, I'm sure. And if the Browns are going to back a player, it's going to be their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, over almost any of them. Love that or hate it, that's the situation right now for Cleveland. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, maybe only one guy, like Nick Chubb. You back him over Baker Mayfield. But the rest, no, you're Myles Garrett, maybe. But Baker Mayfield's going to get the benefit of the doubt right now. 20 minutes after the hour. Before we break, shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. They always hook us up with our game beer of the week. This week is no different. This one is from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a vanilla porter. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every night. They also got the Friday free tastings from 4 to 6 this Friday. The great folks from Estate Brands will be on hand to share tastings of their delicious wines and other beverages. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. 21 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll talk about the Colorado State Rams. I've been teasing that one. Joe Parker spoke on a podcast on Ram Nation. It's a great outlet for Rams fans to just really talk about the Rams. Joel had a great chat with Joe Parker. I thought it was a great chat. Did I agree with what Parker had to say? Talk about it next.
For the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
No pressure or anything. I hate to be the guy that interrupts Stevie. I mean, why would you do that to me, Michael? I feel like I'm making hooligans mad right now. Is that one of the greatest songs of all time?
It's on my liked songs on Spotify.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean it's one of the greatest songs of all time?
It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
I think that's like one. Do you ever see was it Dewey Cox?
I did not see that.
He's trying to write the greatest song of all time. It's basically one of those spoof movies after Walk the Line.
Ring of Fire.
Yeah, Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, that one.
And it's the whole premise is he's trying to write the greatest song of all time. Is that the greatest song of all time?
No.
I love rock music, but yes, there's times I will step outside, it's for songs like that. That's it. Very rare will I do that. And I'll even acknowledge that that song is greater than 98% of my favorite music. It's weird.
I'd say that, yeah.
That's just one of those songs.
And I love her voice. She has a phenomenal voice, one of my favorite singers.
No question. And the lyrics, everything.
Yeah. I don't care about lyrics.
You don't care about lyrics, which is so... It bothers me because you're into like deep and meaningful shows and movies and TV series and stuff. Like you catch on to if there's lines that seem out of character or if they're not very well thought through.
Well, if you
yet
look
for
at
music,
some of the,
you don't like lyrics. You don't
some
care
of the
about
music
lyrics.
That I listen to, like the there's a lot of growling to it. And also, I'm not great at memorizing lyrics, so it's just track one, track two, track three. Track one is the singer. It's all the sound to me.
I like lyrics.
They could be singing
big
as long
lyrics.
As they're not, saying bad things about the Broncos.
Why would anybody write a song first off about the Broncos, and then why would anybody write a song that's bad things about the Broncos? It seems stupid.
Because they're a bad person.
Rev Chiropractic. Speaking of being a bad person, if you go to Rev Chiropractic, you're going to feel like a good person no matter what, no matter how your day is going. You go there.
Yeah, and you know what? They've got a good music playlist.
You, there's no secret. You have some back issues. You've been struggling with back issues.
Yeah, and neck issues.
And you've started going to Rev Chiropractic because you heard me talk about it. You finally believed in something I said. You took my advice on something. You feeling a little bit better?
I'm feeling a lot better. You know, chiropractic care, it's one of those things where you know you need it, but maybe
I would
later.
Always get my neck cracked. I would always go to the quick pop in, pop out, and I would feel relief, and there was satisfaction with hearing the, like, there's satisfaction there.
I don't like that.
But after, the next day, I was kind of like, I'm still feeling it. Not really working for me.
That's because your muscles go back to doing the same old, same old.
So you need to go Look at you. You're like a spokesperson for Rev Chiropractic.
I am a huge fan of theirs.
That's why they work, because theirs is, it's a slower process. You're not going to go in there probably feeling instant relief, but you're going to, this is the long-term approach where you're going to be healthier in the long run. This isn't a, hey, I'm hurting today, fix me up today. Oh, I'm good. I need it tomorrow too. I need it. This is, now I don't need it as much. It's just regular care. I pop in for 5 minutes and they take care of me. That's Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. They're great at what they do, and we're just so happy that they're part of the show. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Joe Parker was on a recent podcast on Ram Nation talking a little bit about, hey, it's not acceptable. He calls CSU's poor results in football historically a systemic issue, and we've got to fix it. I thought it was a great interview. We're trying to get Joe Parker on, and I know the fan base is really upset, furious right now. I get it. I just think some of it, I mean, guys, easy. I'm not saying Addazio doesn't have issues that he needs to fix. He does. But we have not completed. I'm a big fan of closing the book. You know, I want to close the book on Drew Lock, and I feel like our hand is still stuck in a chapter waiting to see. This book, you can't close the book on Steve Addazio yet. We need to see much more from this guy. We saw COVID year last year. And I said that before the year began on this show. I said, you cannot take anything that happened too seriously in COVID year. Even the Wyoming win. Seriously. You can't take it. This year's the first real test. And I know our boy Kevin Lytle says, hey, no, it was real. He got paid. I get it. But last year was crazy. Last year was nuts. So it was really hard for me to assess Steve Addazio from that year. I'm taking this season fully for my assessment. You can assess him however the hell you want. But for my assessment, that's how I'm doing it. 31 minutes after the hour, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Jesse Kurtz coming up about the Mountain West. We'll talk about CSU as well. We'll get his thoughts. We got Army Air Force this weekend as well. Air Force, I mean, they've got an opportunity to run the table on their side of the Mountain West. We'll talk to Jesse about it. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the hour, well, there's Kristen Mateo. She was at the coach's show last night. Jerry Schimmel interviewing her live from the GOAT last night, and it was a great time. That place is packed every single Tuesday. It's a great atmosphere. The big time sports bar in Greeley, Colorado. Joining us now, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, Jesse Kurtz. Jesse, my friend, it's always great to catch up with you every Wednesday, man.
Likewise. Hey, I've been to the GOAT. That place is phenomenal.
You have been? Oh, my.
Yeah,
so we're getting the Jesse
not?
Kurtz
sure.
endorsement, man. That's when you know that place is legit.
Yeah, big time. Big time. One of my favorite places in Greeley.
Now, next time you're up here, man, let me know. We'll jump over there. I'll buy you dinner. I'll buy you lunch.
I'll hold you to it.
All right, my friend. Big weekend coming up in the Mountain West. You're looking at these standings. You're kind of still waiting for that team to kind of run away with it, especially on the Mountain West side of things. And you got two ranked teams, which is fantastic for the conference in Fresno State and San Diego State.
Yeah, that was a big night last night. And you never really know which way that the committee is going to go with these things because there's so many opinions that go into that equation. But to have two teams ranked more than the Pac-12, best of the group of five, certainly like where we stand. And yeah, I think that's a credit to Fresno State and San Diego State in the way that they scheduled. If you're asking me, and this is just my opinion, that's what put them over the top here. You got teams that went out and scheduled. San Diego State schedules Arizona and Utah, beat them both. Fresno State goes out and schedules your Oregon, plays them very tight. UCLA goes on the road and wins. And then Fresno State, of course, beats San Diego State last weekend in arguably the biggest game thus far in the Mountain West. That strategic scheduling and make sure that you've got those teams there that you win and you make a splash, people take notice. And last night, the CFP committee took notice and ranked both teams, so certainly proud of that.
Yeah, no question about it. A big night for the Mountain West Conference. And now we'll see, you know, just looking at the schedule ahead, obviously the one I think most of us have our eyes on, if we're just fans of the conference, looking at Fresno State and Boise State. The Broncos came out and beat the Rams, came back after being down 13-0. They have an opportunity to climb up on the mountainside of things, but they got to get through, as we just mentioned, a top number 23 in Fresno State. And Fresno State, at the same time, you know, they're trying to hang on to that top spot in the Mountain West. So, I mean, we're getting down to it now where these games have a lot more meaning as we progress.
Yeah, the old milk can on the line between Fresno State and Boise State. They've had some unbelievable games in the past. I mean, games that meant so much in the regular season. They've met multiple times in a Mountain West championship game, and here they are in a game between a 7-2 team and a 4-4 Boise State team. And let's just be honest here. You know, Boise State has the talent to, albeit 4-4 right now, they have the talent to beat anyone in this league and anyone in the country. They look at what they did against BYU, a top 10 team. They got a win earlier this year. So this should be a fun one. And Fresno State looks like they're on track to have their first sellout since 2013. And that 2013 team was loaded with Derek Carr and Devontae Adams and Durant Smith. I mean, big-time guys that went on to success in the NFL. So they're feeling it in Fresno. They're feeling that this team has something special. A nationally ranked team that ranked in the college football playoff. And, oh, by the way, their old nemesis, a team that has beat them multiple times in championship games, and they always have these very passionate games. So that'll be a fun one between Fresno State and Boise State. It always is.
Fresno State, for the most part, Jesse, they've been very good this season. We did wonder, I think, earlier, okay, is this team for real? Boy, that game last week against San Diego State, were you shocked to see it? Fresno State ends up winning 30-20, but they had control of this one throughout.
Shocked? No. And here would be the reason why. You know, San Diego State, unfortunately, right now, they're still playing at what amounts to a neutral site, right? It's a couple hours north of San Diego. If that game is played in front of a raucous crowd in San Diego, might be a little bit different. But here's the Achilles heel of San Diego State, and I saw it a couple of weeks ago against Air Force. They're super good on defense, probably the best defense in the league. They certainly have the best special teams in the league. Offensively, they struggle, and they've struggled to find consistency at the quarterback position. They've rolled through three guys, haven't found that. Eventually, that catches up with you, and it did against a very talented Fresno State team who's talented in all facets of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, Fresno State obviously had a lot to play for, very passionate, and the lack of offense caught up with San Diego State against a very good Fresno State team. So maybe not shocked, but if these two teams played again this weekend, say at a neutral site, it wouldn't be shocking if San Diego State won. That's how close those two teams are. One's 4-1 in West in a conference play. One's 3-1. So these two teams on a collision course to be there at the end. But Fresno State in the driver's seat.
You had mentioned on the other side with Boise State, you know, hey, 4-4, but we've talked about it several times already. You cannot look at that record because their schedule, absolutely monster to start it. But they showed us, man, if you leave Boise State hanging around like the Rams did last week, they will make you pay. Colorado State goes up 13-0. They settle for field goals. Boise State smells blood in the water. They come out and outscore CSU 21-3, and they win 28-19. So that just goes to show you, when Boise State's on and they get it rolling, they're a tough team to beat.
Well, that's a culture thing. In my mind, that's a culture thing. You've got a team that is accustomed to winning, knows how to win, has been in games like that before, has been down before, has been in close games, has been up before. They know how to close out games. And that's what Boise State did. You got a Colorado State team that's still feeling things out, has had some success, has looked really, really good at times, and sometimes you scratch your head. But that's just a Boise State team that was on the ropes, that knew how to climb out and punch back, and that's what they did. And you know, they're 2-2 in league play, but there's a chance they need some help here, especially because they lost to Air Force. But they're the only team that has beaten Utah State, who's 4-1 and leading the division. So Boise State certainly not out of it. And you know, when you got a champion caliber team or individuals or coach that knows how to pick themselves off the mat, they're dangerous. So don't count Boise State out here with 4 weeks to go.
Yeah, and you look at Utah State's schedule, New Mexico State, San Jose State, they're on the road there, and then home against Wyoming. So, maybe it looks like Utah State's going to be favored in most of those games, but like we've seen for most of this conference, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's dangerous to start playing the should win games outright. I mean, we see things happen all the time in this league where the shoulda, woulda, coulda doesn't happen. But Utah State's schedule, it was very front loaded as it relates to conference play, having Air Force and Boise State early. But they've got teams that theoretically now are, it's the softer part of their schedule with New Mexico, I believe Wyoming and San Jose State. San Jose State being the best team that they have going forward. So, and they have the game in hand against Air Force. They put up 49 points against Air Force at Falcon Stadium, the only team to score more than 20 in the last 11 games. So Utah State in the driver's seat. And if you were a betting man, you would bet on probably Utah State being the team that would ultimately represent the Mountain Division. But again, I've played this coulda, woulda, shoulda game, and the one that sticks out to me is back in 2013. Fresno State was undefeated on the collision course for a New Year's Six. All they had to do is get by a very average San Jose State team in the final game of the season, and San Jose State with David Fales beats them. Beats Derek Carr and ruins those chances of going to a New Year's Six bowl game. So I've seen the shoulda, woulda, coulda game foil very quickly in 10 years here at the league. So that's why we play the games, and that's why November is so fun in college football.
No question about it. Another big one. It's big all the time anyway, Army, Air Force. But your Air Force, like you just said, they're right behind Utah State. They have to keep their eyes on the prize. I believe they're coming in to this game 2.5-point favorites. So big, big game coming up for Air Force as well.
This will be a test of wills, and it's two teams that are very identical, number 1 and 3 in time of possession, 1 and 2 in rushing offense. It wouldn't shock me if this game was 14-10. Possessions are going to be very limited, and obviously the Commander-in-Chief's trophy still online for both teams because Army hasn't played Navy yet. Air Force already has the pocket win against Navy. So if Air Force goes down there and wins, it's in Arlington, Texas, the home of the Texas Rangers, neutral site, which will be fun. But there's so much on the line. This is an Air Force program that has not won the Commanders-in-Chief trophy since 2016. Super hungry. You've got a full class, four classes at the Air Force Academy that have not won it. And these seniors that took the turn back, that are coming back, the Jordan Jacksons and Trey Bugs and DeMonte Meeks of the world, they want that trophy more than anything in the world. So that'll be a passionate bunch. But this is an Army team that has played very, very well, took Wisconsin down to the wire at Camp Randall. Stumbled a little bit defensively against Wake Forest, but who hasn't this season? This will be a fun one. Neutral site, Commander-in-Chief's trophy on the line, a 6-2 Air Force team that is coming off a bye week. It'll be a fun morning on CBS national television down in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, no question. Key phrase there, morning, too. Get the college football weekend off, started off the right way. Another big rivalry game coming up for the Colorado State Rams and the Wyoming Cowboys. That was the bright spot for the Rams last year. They go 1-3, but the one win was finally getting that bronze boot back. That should be interesting, too. The Rams coming in, I think they're 3.5-point favorites there. The Rams are really, really needing this one. Fans are saying, hey, a lot's forgivable if you can go out and beat the Cowboys this weekend.
Well, look no further than last year, right? I mean, you can lose a lot of games, but if you pick up those rivalry wins, those are things that fans will sink their teeth in and hold on to. This is a Wyoming team that's reeling in a major way, and I scratch my head. I'm not quite able to put my finger on why. You blow through the first four games, and they look like world beaters, came down to the academy, and Air Force broke their will a little bit, and they have not been able to pick themselves off the mat. I'm not quite sure because they've got great players. I have nothing but respect for Craig Bohl and what he's able to do as a coach and motivate guys and get guys ready. Not quite sure where things turned around But I think Colorado State is in a good spot here. You know, they played well. Obviously, second half got away from them a little bit against Boise State, but this is a Wyoming team that is backpedaling a little bit. And I think that Colorado State, as you mentioned, this can make or break here this run. You get to 3-2 in conference play and 4-5, you're all of a sudden getting your head above water as it relates to being at .500. It's one of the best rivalries in college football. There's no question about it. The pomp and circumstance with the boot run, the passionate fan bases that are 70 miles apart. You know, many, many kids on either side were or were not recruited by the other side, so they're motivated by that. This is a fun one, and can't wait to watch the border war.
I love me some Mountain West football, Jesse. Appreciate everything that you do and keeping us up to speed on all things Mountain West Conference, and we'll look to catch up with you next week, my friend.
Look forward to it. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network, the lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. 49 minutes after the hour. Yeah, that's right. The Mountain West Network's smoking right now. They got two teams in the top 25 in Fresno State and San Diego State, so kind of getting some notice there, and I think that's a big deal for the conference. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show. We'll get to what's on TV tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
On the court tonight, it's the Memphis Grizzlies hosting the Denver Nuggets for the second time this week as they finish up this back-to-back road series. The Grizzlies took the win on Monday night as the Nuggets look to bounce back. Tip-off is tonight at 6. On the ice tonight, I'll be checking out the 3-5 Los Angeles Kings hosting the 6-1 St. Louis Blues. The Blues come into this matchup winners of 4 of their last 5 games, including 2 wins over the Kings. Puck drop is tonight at 8 on TNT.
See if the Nuggets can bounce back tonight. Thank you, Angel, for that, putting that together for us. He's off today, but he always putting together what's on the tube tonight, some of the key games. And, yeah, I'll be looking at the Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. When do we panic about MPJ? We need to see a string of good games offensively from the new max contract guy. Will it be tonight? Will he get it rolling? We'll find out and we'll discuss on Thursday's edition of the whole show. We won one last week in Thursday night special. See if we can make it 2 in a row tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. Stick around for Pick Central. And, of course, the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Good night, Northern Colorado.